Question 3. How do you react when you think that thought?
With this question, we begin to notice internal cause and effect. You can see that when you believe the thought, there's an uneasy feeling, a disturbance that can range from mild discomfort to fear or panic. Since you may have realized from question 1 that the thought isn't even true for you, you're looking at the power of a lie. Your nature is truth. And when you oppose it, you don't feel like yourself. Stress never feels as natural as peace does. After the 4 questions found me, I would notice thoughts like, people should be more loving, and I would see that they caused a feeling of uneasiness. I noticed that prior to the thought, there was peace. My mind was quiet and serene. There was no stress, no disturbing physical reaction. This is who I am without my story. Then, in the stillness of awareness, I began to notice the feelings that came from believing or attaching to the thought. And in the stillness, I could see that if I were to believe the thought, the result would be a feeling of unease and sadness. From there, it would go to, I should do something about this. From there, it would shift to guilt. I didn't have the slightest idea of how to make people be more loving, because I myself couldn't be any more loving than I, in fact, was. When I ask, how do I react when I believe the thought that people should be more loving, I saw that not only did I have an uncomfortable feeling, but I also reacted with mental pictures of the wrongs I had once thought I'd suffered, of the terrible things I had once thought people had done to me, of my first husband's unkindness to our children and me. Anything to prove that the thought was true. I flew off into a world that didn't exist. There I was, sitting in a chair with a cup of tea, and mentally I was living in the pictures of an illusory past. I became a character in the pages of a myth of suffering, the heroine of suffering, trapped in a world filled with injustice. I reacted by living in a stressed body, seeing everything through fearful eyes, a sleepwalker in an endless nightmare. The remedy was simply to investigate. I love question 3. Once you answer it for yourself, once you see the cause and effect of a thought, all your suffering begins to unravel. You may not even realize it at first. You may not even know that you're making progress. But progress is none of your business. Just keep doing the work. It will continue to take you deeper. The next time the problem you worked on appears, you may laugh in astonishment. You may not feel any stress. You may not even notice the thought at all.
Can you see a reason to drop that thought? And please don't try to drop it.
This is an additional question that I sometimes ask as a follow-up to question 3. Can I see a reason to drop the thought? Yes, I can. I was at peace before the thought appeared, and after it appeared, I felt contraction and stress. It's important to realize that inquiry is about noticing, not about dropping the thought. That is not possible. If you think that I'm asking you to drop the thought, I'm not. Inquiry is not about getting rid of thoughts. It's about realizing what's true for you through awareness and unconditional self-love. Once you see the truth, the thought lets go of you, not the other way around.
Can you find one stress-free reason to keep the thought?
Another question I sometimes ask is, can you find one stress-free reason to keep the thought? You may see lots of reasons, but they all cause stress. They all hurt. None of them is peaceful or valid, not if you're interested in putting an end to your suffering. If you find one that seems valid, ask yourself, is this reason peaceful or is it stressful? Does thinking that thought bring peace or stress into my life? And do I operate more efficiently, lovingly, and clearly when I am stressed or when I'm free of stress? In my experience, all stress is inefficient.